50 years ago tonight, on the Ed Sullivan Show, the Beatles were introduced to America. How many of y'all stayed home from church? You're old enough to remember that. How many of you stayed? Stand up now. If you stayed home from church, watch the Beatles. Won't you stand up? All right? Stand up. Any of you stayed home, watch the Beatles? Darlene did. Amen. Y'all remember?
I saw it, but I wasn't going to church
then. You wasn't going to church then, but you saw it. Saw the Beatles. Saw them?
Yeah, never went to church.
It was on the Ed Sullivan Show 50 years ago tonight. And the guy there in the middle is John Lennon. In 1964, he said, "The Beatles are more popular than Jesus Christ." Well, John died when he was 40, and if you could talk to him now, you could ask him how that's working out for him. Because they're not more popular than Jesus. Hey, people in third world countries never heard of the Beatles. There's little hovels and places where the name of the Lord Jesus is known around the world. And 50 years from tonight, some preacher will stand up and say, 100 years ago, the Beatles were introduced on Ed Sullivan. And people will say, "Who?" And then he'll say the name Jesus, and they'll say, "I know who that is. He was here before time was, and he will be here when time is no more." Thank God for the new song of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I ran across a text this week, and I just wanted to deal with it for a little bit and then kind of flesh it out. Why don't you go to the book of Exodus with me tonight. In Exodus 27, verses 20 and 21. I'm reading through the Bible again this year, and I hope you're reading through Scripture. And as I read through the Bible, I'm amazed what just jumps off the page at me. Even though I've read it, you know, a bunch of times just like you have. And so I was reading earlier this week, or last week, and I ran on these two verses in Exodus 27, verses 20 and 21. Now, when you get over here in Exodus, you get into a little minutia, some detail, because they're about to build the tabernacle. And then they're going to build the temple, and they start talking about skins and poles and how long it is and deep and wide. But now that's a piece of cake compared to when you get to Leviticus, all right? Because you'd be into some details and stuff, and but you just keep, because in the middle of all of that detail, this is like they're writing code and law for the nation Israel. But he's giving them detail that's going to be fulfilled in Christ. And so he's mapping out the tabernacle, the movable place of worship for Israel as they go through the wilderness. And he tells them the walls are to be this long and this wide. And then inside of the tabernacle, there is the Holy of Holies. And it's just a small place in that. And he's detailing all of that. And then we get to chapter 27, verses 20 and 21. And it's just kind of popped off the page at me. And I thought, man, there's something in here we need to talk about. And I want you to look at it. In Exodus 27, verse 20, the Bible says, "You shall charge the sons of Israel that they bring you clear oil of beaten olives for the light, to make a lamp burning continually in the tent of meeting," that's the movable tabernacle, "outside of the veil," not in the Holy of Holies, but outside of the veil, "which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall keep it in order from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be," talking about this lamp, "a perpetual statute throughout their generations for the sons of Israel." So when they would come and get ready for work, come in to worship, they would see this lamp, and it was burning. And it burned 7 days a week from evening to morning. Anytime that they came by the worship place, this light was on. They kept the light on. And Aaron and the Levites, the priests, were to see to it. They may nap, but they always checking on that light. And they kept the lamp on. They kept the light burning. And I began to think about that. Do you know that's our job? We are to be this light. And this is the corporate bride of our Lord. We are to keep the light on. Pensacola is a dark place. It is. And we are to illuminate that dark culture. We're to keep the light on. Now, this is even a bad application, but I'm going to make it because I struggle. Most, and I want you to hear me. Well, I'll just follow up. I'll tell you what I mean in a minute. Most churches in our city and in America today don't have church on Sunday night anymore. And most have voted with their feet, and we have a smaller group on Sunday night. And that's why we're trying to change and do some things, and it's sort of working and sort of not. And we don't know what to do, and we're going to do some things different even in the summer. You're not more spiritual just because you come to church twice on Sunday, okay? That's not it. But in our culture, it has been traditional. That's all it is to have morning church and evening church. But there's something to be said for the light being on Sunday night. And I have a hard time leading our church to say we're just going to close the door on Sunday night. And so I push for that. Not everybody likes that. A lot of our staff would just be overjoyed if I would lead the charge to say we'd not have church on Sunday night. And I would be overjoyed many, many times. I was sick last Sunday night, and I took a beating for that. That's the first Super Bowl I've ever watched. I've never seen the Super Bowl. I've always been in church on Sunday night. And that was the sorriest mess I ever watched anyway. I mean, I was laid up on the couch and couldn't talk and blowing my nose and had a head cold. And, you know, and first thing that happens, they hacked it over Peyton's head, and it was over. I mean, it was done. But I felt kind of guilt-ridden. Matter of fact, I almost came and sat in the balcony so as not to, but just to be here. So part of that is tradition and just because it's always been, but there's something to be said for the light being on even in the building for people to come at a given time. You know, if you take that and say you want to really spiritualize, then we ought to meet every night, tomorrow night, Tuesday night. But the real application of this text is not keeping the light on in this building. That's what happened in the Old Testament. Fast forward to the gospel. And there is a light, but it's not this light. There is a light, but it's not the light that's on the cross on the top of this building. There is a light, and I want us to think about keeping that light on. We could shut down Sunday night, Wednesday night, just whatever, but I'm telling you, there is still a way to keep the light on with the church of the living God. So I want us to think about that light tonight from the New Testament perspective, where in the Old Testament they were watching after this light from evening to morning, and we are to keep the light on. So let's think about that with three things. Number one, I would share with you that in our culture, the light is Christ. Jesus is the light. Now, when you go to the Gospel of John, take your Bible and go over to the New Testament, and you'll see John 8 and verse number 12 in John 8. So we'll go there in John 8 and verse 12. And the Bible says this. Then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. What Jesus is talking about there, he is using the solar system illustration. He is saying, I am the light of the world. What's the light of the world in our solar system? The sun, the S-U-N, not the S-O-N, but the S-U-N. In the morning, the sun will come back, okay? It's still out there. We've just turned our back on it for a little while, and you've been in your classes and school enough to know how that solar system works, and so we're going to the dark side for a few hours, and then the sun really doesn't come up, it doesn't move, it's stationary, it's there, and then we'll rotate around as we're going around it, and so it'll look like the sun's coming up, but really we're just rolling over to find it, and you know all of that. Jesus said, just like the sun illuminates the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light. Hear me. We are to keep the light on, and the way we keep the light on is that we talk about Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus. That's who we talk about. You'll get there, all right? He is the light. Everything rotates around him. Everything in your life should center and rotate around Jesus Christ, because he is the light of your world, and that light is always burning. Now, that's John 8:12, but now notice John 9 and verse number 5. Jesus said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. There was a time when Jesus was in the world. He met here with us. He was here for 33 years. John Lennon lived for 40 years. He died. Jesus lived for 33 years, and they crucified him, but he's still alive, all right? He rose from the dead. Jesus spoke to us and said, while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. When he came, he brought the gospel to us. He became God in the flesh, God incarnate to us. Don't let anybody ever tell you that Jesus is one of many gods. There is none like him. He is peerless when it comes to knowing God. The coming generations and the culture that we live in today, they don't have a problem with Jesus. They just have a problem with Jesus and his exclusivity. As long as he's not the only one, they're all for it, as he's one of many. I had a Methodist preacher say to me this week, this is a Protestant. Say, you know, we preach Christ, but to my Islamic brothers, it's okay if they find God through Muhammad. Well, I'm just telling you, friend, that's not true. That is false. Jesus is the light. He is the only light, and he is the illumination of this world. The only way to know God is through Christ and Christ alone. That's not popular. It's not PC and all that, but it's Bible. And we understand that from the Word of God. Jesus is the light. Turn over to John. You're in John. Go to chapter 11 and verses 9 and 10. Look at this. Chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Jesus getting ready to deal with Lazarus in John 11, verse 9. Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. I want you to hear this, preacher. The light is not in everyone. There are some lost and there are some saved. Who's Jesus talking about in this passage? He's talking about the rabbi, the Jew, that did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. And he said, I'm telling you, there's some folks that stumble in the darkness. There's a lot of stumblers in our world today. Jesus is the light. False gods are not the light. And we must be without equivocation saying it in our world. It won't make you popular, it'll make you right. It won't make people love you, it'll make you right. Be very careful that you don't swallow the lie that Jesus is just one of many. And then go to chapter 12 in John's Gospel, verses 35 and 36, where Jesus says this. So Jesus said to them in John 12, 35, a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light. Christ is filling out all of this light illustration. He's just telling, I'm not going to be here long. I'm going to the Father. So walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. If we're not careful, darkness will overtake us. We dare not allow the darkness to overtake the light of the Lord Jesus. So the first thing I want you to see tonight, when it comes to keeping the light on, it is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. That's it. Amen. No, don't forget that. It's all about him. It's not olive, olive, olive. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's not Baptist, Baptist, Baptist. No, it's Jesus, 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 Jesus. He is the light of the world. And we must keep illuminating him and lifting him and giving preeminence to him. Lift him up, lift him up. The light is Christ. Notice what he said in verse 36, that you might become sons of light. So number two, I want you to see tonight, not only is Jesus light, Christians, Christ followers are light. They're light. Now the classic text here is Matthew 5, verses 14 and 15. It's a wonderful text. Here's what it says. Look at it on the screen. You, now Jesus already said he's the light, so we see that he's the light, but now look, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. The first time that Liz and I went to the what's called the Holy Land, to Israel, visited Jordan and came over, we were on the Sea of Galilee, and we're floating on this boat. And it's getting dark, and we're just about to get up to the shore, and it's just about dark. And our guide pulls out his Bible, and he reads this passage to us. He said, you're the light of the world. You that are here, you're Christ followers. You're to be like a city set on a hill. He said, now everybody, look right here at me, and we did. He said, now turn your eye and go with me and look. And we looked to the hills that are around the Galilee. That Sea of Galilee is way down at sea level. It's way down. But there are mountains all around. And those small little villages were illuminated on those mountains. All around us we could see. He looked at us. I'll never forget it. He said it was no doubt on a night like this, when Jesus said, you're to be like a city set on a hill, that all would see your light in the middle of the darkness, like that city that's up on a hill. You know, Ronald Reagan used this all the time. He talked about the shining city on a hill. He talked about America. Well, that's a good illustration. It was just wrong. Jesus wasn't talking about America. He was talking about the kingdom. He's talking about you, and he's talking about me. Now look in this passage, in Matthew 5, 14, 15. Put that back up for me, Sharon, as we see that Matthew 5 passage. A city set on a hill, you can't hide that. You can't put a blanket over that city that's up on that hill. You just see that, all right? Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. You don't light a light and then put a bucket on it. But it'll give light to all the house. Now, friends, if you're not careful, you will put a bucket on your light. Our job is to illuminate the house. We're supposed to illuminate Pensacola. That is our job, because Christians are the light. Are you illuminating? Or are you hiding under a bucket. What's his name? You got to shine. How do we do that? Well, there's one third thing I want you to see tonight. Not only is Jesus the light, and not only are Christians the light, but 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the gospel is light. The gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus is the gospel. Look at it in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 4. You got it there in your Bible? 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel. The light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The gospel is the light. What is the gospel? The gospel is that God became flesh. When he became flesh, he was Christ. And when he lived perfect. And when he died perfect. And when they buried him perfect. And when he rose perfect. And he did that for us, for the lost world. This is the gospel. As one old commentator says, it's when God stooped. God stooped to come to us. The gospel is the light. So you ought to be telling the gospel. All right, you got your phone? Everybody get out your phone. Everybody's got a phone, get out your phone. On my phone tonight, I have put a gospel app, okay? And I try to use this with a few folks, and it's just simply called The Story. And The Story is on my phone. It's a gospel, it's a track on my phone. It's pretty cool. And you just begin to thumb through that. The following pages are the summary of the true story. It's like many stories you've heard and you hear, and you just read right through it, and you get to the next one. Number one is creation. It tells about the creating power of God in Genesis 1:1. Then you go to the next one, it gives you that. And it talks about the harmony of God's design. And then it talks about the fall, and we've all sinned. It's just got scripture right there on it and the consequence of dying and then the need that we have. And here comes the rescue. It's the promise of Christ in the gospel. And you just go right through that, and it's got a prayer. You can pray at the end. It's just like any other gospel track, except it's electronic. Well, I don't know what kind of track you use, but you ought to be telling the gospel to somebody. Now, here is my awful question. It's the year 2014. It's day 9 of February. There were 31 days in January. So that means we're how many days into the year, John? 31 plus 9 is?
It's 40.
There you go. Amen. It's my mathematician on our staff down here. So you've been alive 40 days this year. Here's my question. Have you shared the gospel in 40 days? Don't put it under a bucket. Remember, the gospel is not Olive, it's not me, it's not you. The gospel Bennett, why do we do upward sports? For the gospel's sake. Amen. It's not just so mothers and daddies will cuss you out for doing it wrong. It's for the gospel. Why are we going to stop that and do baseball and upward? It's for the gospel. Why do we have little boys and girls down here tonight in these programs? It's for the gospel. Why in the world would we stop during the fall and have a fall festival and give out candy and all these kids come? Is it just so we can ride a horse and have fun, Kelly? It's for the gospel's sake. Why do we do the Cares House? It's for the gospel's sake. Why are we here? It's for the gospel's sake. 40 days. Before you can blink an eye, we'll be at day 80. Then we'll do day 121. If we're not careful, we'll be at 365 and we'll look back at 2014 and say, you know, I've lived another year of my life and I've not talked to anyone about the gospel. Do not put it under a bucket. I have a favorite little app on my phone. I think I like this one best. I think I probably use it as much as anything that I have on my phone. If Catherine has not erased it. No, she hadn't. This is my favorite app. So turn all the lights off up there, all right? Y'all got one of these? Okay, turn yours on. Everybody get your, there you go. You got one too, hadn't you? Everybody's got one, turn it on. You got one? Yeah, look at that. We're gonna do Christmas Eve like this one year.
It's wax.
Yeah, no wax, no mess. It's got a little flashlight on your phone, don't you? Y'all finding it? It's hard to find them sometimes. Everybody got your light? Okay, just keep your light on for a minute. Brother Mike, how you doing?
I'm going to put it away. I'm going to stay job.
Okay, good. You stay on it. Amen? Good. You're looking good over here. It makes your head shine with that thing a little bit. That's good. All right, everybody's got your light. Now, you say, preacher, it's kind of silly. It is, but you see, this culture is Pensacola. Our job is this. Don't put it under a bucket. Don't hide it. Turn it on and keep it on. Now, some of you old timers are as old as I am. You're about to die to sing a song right now. Aren't you? Somebody just start. Hide it under a... Don't let Satan turn it off. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. So the question is, who are you going to tell this week about the light? Anybody you can find, just tell them about the light, the gospel. Say, preacher, you're running my battery down. That's okay, you can plug it back in. See, you can do that. You got to let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine. You know, that thing is, don't let Satan it out. Well, we sang it, don't let him turn it off. Because he can't this out. But you turn it off. And see what happens is if we're not careful, we'll get in a conversation and we'll get right up to the edge of telling somebody about it. And we'll turn off our light. And Aaron and the sons of Levi, from evening till morning, were continually caring for the lamp so that it was always burning in the tabernacle. It's good to have church anytime. It's good we have morning and evening, but the real issue is when we leave here, will we let it shine? Father, thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for Jesus. And thank you that you have made us to be the sons of light. Forgive us where sometimes we just chicken out, where sometimes we're not bold, where sometimes we don't even think about the gospel. Help us to turn our light on.